As we look at the variety of psalms, one of the most interesting collections is a very small collection that I like to call the Thanks Psalms. Now, it may seem as if this is an unusually small collection for the idea of thanks itself, which is central to both Old and New Testament theology and worship life and practices. There are a variety of different kinds of psalms. We've looked at a number of them in the past. Individual laments, when the individual cries out to God for deliverance in a particularly difficult situation. Communal laments, when it's a whole community or the gathering of the people that assemble and address God and say, why is this happening to us and how can we get out of this and what should we do about this? How can we think about this? Hymns of praise, in which God's glory is lauded and the celebration of God's presence in creation and redemption is identified. Songs of confidence, in which we talk about how certain we are that God will take care of us. Royal psalms, in which there's a connection made between God's divine rule and the rule of the king on the throne of David in Jerusalem and through Israel. Psalms of Zion, which praise the manner in which God has chosen Israel to be the vehicle by which God restores and renews God's relationship with all nations of the earth. Wisdom or priestly instruction, which contain elements of wisdom to pass along from generation to generation, and these thanks psalms. Now, really, there are three of them in the whole collection of 150 psalms. That doesn't mean that they're the only ones which express thanks, but they have a unique way of doing it because they use a particular Hebrew term, term that you pronounce todah, which means to thank in a special way. They are expressions of appreciation for Yahweh's deliverance and confidence in that trajectory as being true for the future as well. And these psalms are 75, 115, and 136. Psalm 75, we praise you, O God, we praise you, for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. When the earth and its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. To the arrogant I say, boast no more, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift up your horns against heaven. Do not speak so defiantly. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down and exalts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob, who says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. Now, at first glance, this psalm may not seem to be very thankful, but there's a special formula for thanking that is more evident in the Hebrew language, and each of these psalms use the term todah, or thanks, in it, in order to rehearse a specific set of things by which Yahweh has done something for which we give thanks, and because of that, we count on His favor for the future. This becomes evident in Psalm 75 when reading verses 1 and 9. Each of these verses is about declaring God's saving activities, and this is the thanks that is being offered. Not merely an offhanded thank you, something like that to someone who has opened a door, who has stepped out of the way. This thanks has to do with the huge things of life, the meaning of life itself, where rival perspectives and powers are at stake. When God asserts divine authority, it is over the petty powers at work in human society that seek to destroy and demean and diminish and dehumanize us in so many ways. And you know those things in your life and society generally. When God acts over against those powers, goodness and care and delight erupt once again, and the life of everyone shimmers with some significance. So this thanks is not an offhand, tossed-out comment. It's named and identified on the basis of the clear and direct actions of God who reclaims and redeems and renews life on planet Earth. This is why thankfulness happens, not because somebody did a nice thing today, but because life itself has been turned around by the actions of God. A second example of these things. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his love endures. Let those who fear the Lord say his love endures forever. You notice the repetition of calling others to say something about God. Then it becomes very personal. When hard pressed, I cried out to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in the humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done this very day, for let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Notice that this psalm begins and ends with the Todah, thanks, theme. It spells out a number of historical actions by which Yahweh has delivered the people generally, and also this individual psalm writer. And the thanks that is due Yahweh is precisely because of God's deliverance. The psalm becomes the usual final song in the Jewish Passover service, so precisely it tells the story or recounts the history of Israel in a summary form. Therefore, we ought to give thanks because of what God has done in our past, our shared past, our historical past, as well as in our individual lives. Now, Jesus and his disciples likely sang this song after the meal together on the night before Jesus died, so it takes on even deeper meaning in the New Testament because Jesus is, in fact, the stone which the builders rejected, who now becomes the corner of the great palace of God, the one who rules heaven and earth. So it's a very powerful song in so many ways. The third among the thanks psalms is Psalm 136. Much longer, but notice the structure of Psalm 136. In our verses, our translations of it, there is a line at the beginning of each verse and then a chorus, a repeated chorus at the end of each verse. The lines at the beginning of the verse go through a litany of things in which God has championed the right cause, has done the right thing, has brought the right deliverance. And then the last half of each verse is about how God's love therefore endures forever. We acknowledge this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. Give thanks to him alone who does great wonders. His love endures forever. And then comes a litany of the acts of creation, followed by the actions of bringing the Israelites out of Egypt in the great Exodus, and goes all the way through the end and sort of throws it up and says, he gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Notice that this psalm is intended to be sung by a soloist and a choir congregation, sort of like if you've ever seen a gospel choir perform with its lead singer and the choir is standing behind, swaying from side to side, or even a soloist who's leading a congregational response. The soloist sings the first line of each verse and the choir or congregation respond with the refrain, "His love endures forever." So this is a psalm. You can actually see how it was performed or participated in the life of worship for ancient Israel and probably how it ought to be done even today. Notice that the psalm rehearses much of the early history of Israel, right from the creation itself through the Exodus and the deliverance and the wilderness encounters on the way to the Promised Land. So the psalm shows thankfulness for specific actions rooted in the history of God's redemptive activity. And that's how it all ties back to us today. The final solo testimonies link God's saving activities of the past to those that we need and experience in our contemporary settings. Because God has acted this way, so we can count on God to act this way today. And we give God thanks for that. Todah, thanks. Thanks, Psalms, among the Psalter. While many of the Psalms express general thankfulness or even specific thankfulness for unique situations that the psalmist has gone through. These psalms use a particular Hebrew term and style to give thanks to God generally, but generally for a particular line of thought. The key element to current thankfulness, each of them say, is a recognition of God's past track record of deliverance for God's people, coupled with a confidence that this remains the desire of God's heart with God's current people. Here's what God did. Here's what we need. God will do it. These are some of the most popular psalms and some most often used and repeated psalms in the worship of the Israelites, but also in Jewish and Christian worship, and they continue to express our thankfulness to the God who saves. More on these things in my book, Hear Me, O God, and my book, Covenant Documents.